blessing is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This is a continuation of the message, The Lordship of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10 from verse 9. He says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. I want you to notice the 10th verse. Have you seen it? Read it out. For with the heart man believeth. Glory to God. With the heart man believeth. He doesn't say with the mind. With the heart you believe. You just know in your heart. You just know it. You just know it. There's no argument in your heart. You just know it inside your heart. You know. You believe it. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Do you realize if we knew how to preach the gospel correctly, we can lead a lot of people into salvation? There's a lot of people who don't know salvation just because they've not been taught rightly. There are people who are struggling to be Christians in their lives because they've never been taught rightly. Some have been told, except you change this and change that, you cannot receive salvation. And they're trying to change those things. Some have even said, well, I don't believe I can change this forever, so I'm condemned. Maybe I'll go to hell. You talk to some people about Jesus and say, well, maybe I need some further preparation first. But if you could prepare yourself first to be good enough to come to God, you don't need Jesus. He sent Jesus because you could not prepare yourself. Don't you understand? That's why he sent Jesus, because you were too bad to help yourself. If you could help yourself, Jesus would have never had to come. You couldn't stop trying. That's why you need Jesus. Come with all your mess. Come with all your dirt. He'll take care of it. That's why he died. He died to save you. You didn't ask him to give you salvation. How many of us prayed and asked God to send Jesus to die for us? Talk to me. You were so wise. You knew how we could be saved. So you talked to God. You said, I have an idea. If you send somebody from heaven, come die for us, we'll be saved. How many of you had that idea? You were wise enough to counsel God. Did you talk to him about salvation? It was his idea. Which means we don't need to struggle to do anything else. Just follow his idea. And he will accept it. But he will not accept another kind of idea from you. The Bible says, who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Praise God. He says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And then he says, and with the mouth. Powerful. Oh boy. Oh, glory to God. This verse will change your life. Listen now to it. Listen to what it says. Now listen. Let me tell you something. The word of God is important. Tell somebody what I said. Can I say it again? The word of God is important. Now, the word of God is not given for you to feel good. It's not given for you as a story. It's given to you to live by. You understand? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You live by it. Come on, you eat some food every day, am I right? You eat something every day to keep your body alive. You got to eat the word of God to keep your spirit alive. You have to eat the word of God. How do you eat it? By hearing it and receiving it into your spirits and meditating upon it. Are you hearing me? Do you know most Christians have never known the value of meditation on the word? A lot of them meditate on their problems. They have made an idol of their problems. They worship their problems. They celebrate their problems. They talk about their problems more than they talk about God. They talk about the bigness and severity of their problems more than the power of Almighty God in their lives. They worship their problems. They've made an idol of their problems. They meditate on their problems. There are times when many people sit alone, all they're thinking about is what to do with their problems. They're meditating. And the more you meditate on your problem, the greater that problem becomes. The more real it is. The more it puts you in bondage. The more pressure it puts on you. That's why some of you, when you come into the house of God, you can't even stay awake. You're feeling sleepy. Why? Because we're not talking about your problem. That's your problem. Whenever you're talking about it, you are awake. You're among your friends talking about your problems. That's the God you serve, but you don't know it. Everything about your life revolves around your problem. Every time you receive money, you're trying to do something about your problem. Every time you call somebody on telephone, it's about your problem. This, your problem, that is 8 years old now. You see it? It's greater than God. You say, no. God is greater than everything. No, that's not the way you're living. You're living your life like your problem is greater than God. I told you a story one time about a certain preacher. He was feeling so down and out, actually. He felt like the challenges in his life and ministry had become too much, not knowing what to do. So his wife had been observing him. And then one day, the wife went into the room, got a black dress, put it on, used a scarf on her head, a black one, and came out. The husband said, what is it? She was crying. Why are you in all this? She was in black, full black, everything black. What's the matter with you? She said, God is dead. God is dead? She said, yes. That's why I'm crying. He's dead. Husband said, what are you? Are you out of your senses? God cannot die. She said, oh no, he's dead. He thought something's really wrong with this woman now. God cannot die. And he thought, like, let him just preach a sermon to her. Let her know God cannot die. God lives forever. And by the time he was preaching all that to her, she took off the scarf and said, so why are you living like he's dead? Why you're acting acting like he's dead. All the money you're crying about, all the discouragement, like though God is dead. Then he realized he was the one that needed a faith sermon now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Tell somebody he's not dead.
He's not dead.
Sure he's not. He said, for with the heart man believeth. That's verse 10 of Romans chapter 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the heart you believe unto righteousness. What's the second part of it? And with what?
The mouth.
What happens? Confession is made unto salvation. Listen, some of you say, well, I believe my problem is going to go away one day. That will not change it. That is good, but it will not change it. I believe one day God's gonna make something happen. All right, that's nice. You're talking good about God, but it will not change the situation. He says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That you have believed unto righteousness doesn't change anything. How many of you remember Lazarus in the Bible? Lazarus, who was a beggar. And when he died, the angels came and took him to heaven. Come on, talk to me. You remember that story? But he was a beggar. And the Bible says he had wounds all over his body. Wasn't God there? God was there. After when Lazarus died, he said angels to pick him up. They didn't pick him up because he was poor. They picked him up because he was a righteous man. Hallelujah.
It's time for your miracle.
There are many people who have had demonic attacks in their lives. Now, when we share with you the Word of God, and you act your faith, we teach you how to put it to work for yourself. Do you understand? We teach you how to put it to work for yourself. Never let the enemy control your life. Say amen.
Amen.
Never let the enemy control your life. I see a lady in a dream. Somebody put something into your mouth and you swallowed it. When you woke up, you felt like you wanted to throw it out. And you've been trying to throw it out ever since. And it never came out. And from time to time, you feel that discomfort from within you. And when you remember it, you want to throw up. In spite of the fact that you've thrown up several times, it didn't come out. Wherever you are, find your way to the front. Find your way. I want that lady to find her way to the front. I want to help you take that thing out of your life tonight.
Pastor, you just gave a word concerning someone
yep.
that swallowed something in a dream and has been trying to throw. I've got these ladies here
yep.
for the same case.
Come.
Pastor, there are some here too.
Okay, y'all come. It's the same devil. Just stand there. Stand there. Oh, the more. Just go behind the ladies here. Stand there. definitely you don't want that evil spirit inside you, okay? You don't. Put your hand on your stomach like this. In the mighty name of Jesus. The rest of you, stretch your hands this way. Stretch your hands toward them. In the mighty name of Jesus. Something is happening already. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thou devil of darkness, right now, get out of there now! Out! Out! Out!
This is a continuation of the message, The Lordship of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10 from verse 9. Look at the 10th verse. How many of you remember Lazarus in the Bible? Lazarus, who was a beggar. And when he died, the angels came and took him to heaven. Come on, talk to me. You remember that story? But he was a beggar. And the Bible says he had wounds all over his body. Wasn't God there? God was there. After when Lazarus died, he said angels to pick him up. They didn't pick him up because he was poor. They picked him up because he was a righteous man under the old covenant. He was a righteous man. But he was sick. He was dying. He was afflicted. He was poor. And God can change it. God can change it. He was a righteous man, but a suffering righteous man. He believed unto righteousness, but didn't change anything. Are you listening to me now? There's a lot of righteous people, glory to God, but they are suffering, and they don't know why. And they stand on the other side and look at those of us who are, oh boy, my. Who are having a time with life. And they say, well, they must be doing something wrong. Keep pointing your accusing finger. Doesn't change anything. You remain in your suffering state. Can only keep interceding for you that one day your eyes will be open. But I've made up my mind to have a good life. The Bible says David, when he was old, he was full of days and goodness. God had touched his life and blessed him. He was the one that said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He didn't say goodness. He didn't say, I'm praying that goodness and mercy will come to me. He didn't say, I'm praying that God will give me goodness and mercy. He said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what David said. What about you? You're standing there and struggling. Yet the Bible says, they which believe and enter into his rest have ceased from their struggles. See why your life is full of struggling? Some even say it. You say, how are you? Say, we're struggling. They think it's nice to talk like that. They think it's humble. No, you're not being humble. You're being stupid. Yeah. To talk like that is not right. It's wrong for a child of God to talk like that. You're struggling because you're ignorant. Jesus said you err because you know not the scriptures. He says you err because you know not the scriptures. God said my people perish. My people suffer. My people are crushed because of the lack of knowledge. The lack of knowledge. That's why they suffer. He didn't say my people perish because I don't answer their prayer. He didn't say my people perish because they don't pray. He said, because they lack knowledge. What knowledge? Revelation knowledge. The knowledge of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can put a stop to your struggles. You can put a stop to your problems, to your sorrows. I don't have problems in life. I face things that challenge my faith. And boy, am I glad every time there are such crises. Why? Because they are bread. Read it. I'm just like Paul in the Bible. He said, I rejoice in my infirmities. He said, I'm glad when problems come. I'm not the first to talk like that. See that? I'm not the first to talk like that. The Bible says we should follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That's like Paul. He said, I've learned in whatever state I am, daring to be independent of circumstances. He talks my language. Are you still there? Paul was a man of like passions. He wasn't different from us. He had the same Jesus, the same Holy Spirit, the same Word of God, and lived in this same earth like we're living in today. He faced the same devils and demons of hell. He had the same angels at attention. Why should he have more advantage than we do today? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. He says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. But that is not the end of that verse. You are righteous. You are wondering where your problems are coming from. You help people. You do things right. You try your best to the best of your knowledge. Why are those problems still there? I want to tell you why. A woman lost her husband and all her children in the same day, but she had been a prayer warrior. She said, God, why? Why? I give my tithe, I give my offerings, I go to church, I worship you, I serve you every day. Why did my husband die? Why did all the children die? Oh, if they only knew that death is not from God. The Bible says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. He calls death an enemy. You say, why do people die then? Study the Bible and find out. I can take a whole series on that for you. Study the Bible and find out. When a Christian is full of days and ready to go, even if you're ready to go at 15, makes no difference. There's a way to go. There's a way to go. You get ready. You decide. Together with the Lord. Is it scripture? Emphatically, yes. And then you give your last messages to those that you want to give to. And check out of this place. There's a way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. She said, why? You have another Christian, they said, we're going to fire some people. And the only people that got fired were all Christians. And they went out crying, why did God let them fire us? Why? The most frequently heard prayer in heaven is a one-word prayer. Why? They just stand there. And feel like if I could see God now. Lord, I hope you can see my face. Not happy with you. Why? Why? What have I done that was so bad? Okay, I know I'm bad. Because the moment they say, what have I done? They just remember some sins. Boom, 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 boom. They say, oh, okay, I know that I'm not so good. But this thing is worse. Why? Let's read that verse together. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. One more time. With the heart, man believeth unto what? That means with your heart, you believe and become righteous. But it hasn't changed anything. I said it hasn't changed anything. Some of you are here. You are not sure that you're born again. Let me tell you something. Listen to what I'm sharing with you now. It's very important. You are very nice. In your own eyes, you are good. Even others who know you say that you're a very kind man. You're a very kind woman. You're very helpful. You are a godly person. They describe you as a godly man, a godly woman. You're very godly. You even teach your children to be godly. Very godly, very, very godly. Welcome, welcome. But there is something. Whenever they ask you, are you born again? You are not able to answer it. I want to show you why now. You are not able. Instead, you bring up an argument. It's not everybody who says he's born again that is really born again. Must I use born again? I know God is always helping me, and I know I'm also helping God. God has been very kind to me. My God loves me. You say things like, my God loves me. He loves me very much, and I know it. All that is nice. But why can't you say yes? You know, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He didn't say, except a man be good, which you are. Thank you. He didn't say, except a man be nice to God, which you are. He didn't say, except a man be kind. Mm-mm. He said, except a man be born again. You say, it depends on what you mean. Forget about what I mean. Let's know what Jesus meant. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Which means born again is not being born of the flesh. Period. And if you have studied the scriptures very well, you will have gotten to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, where it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Meaning that being born again is being born by the word of God. Hallelujah.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. O Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah.
Wow. This message has been brought to you by Christ Embassy Caribbean Broadcast Network, Tortola, British Virgin Island. For inquiries or to share your testimony, kindly call us at 128-434-0346 or email us at info@loveworldradionetworks.org. God bless you.